Hey, Mr. Ezra. Ezra, feel this for me. See what you think. I don't know. What do you think? You want to feel it? Is it hot? Oh, it's ice. Ooh. I don't think I have enough for everybody. So we have to be kind of careful. What are these? Today's your birthday? Happy birthday. Hey, should we all sing? Yeah. Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ezra. Happy birthday to you.
Well, you might just get a freezer pop for your birthday, Ezra. So these are freezer pops. Have you ever had a popsicle? Oh, you don't like popsicles? Oh, that's a bummer birthday gift then. Okay, well. Awesome. Okay, we're going to talk about freezer pops. Okay, so freezer pops are... These are actually 100% juice. So they are frozen now. But when we buy freezer pops, they're not frozen. They're just juice. Yeah. And so to freeze, where do we put them?
In the freezer.
In the freezer. Are they frozen in about 2 seconds?
No.
Do we have to wait a long time?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Our freezer at home must be a slow freezer because it takes a long time for freezer pops to freeze. And if you open the door and check on them and squish them to see if they're frozen yet, it slows them down. You have to stick them in the freezer and shut the door and be patient and let them do their thing. Because that's just how it works. I'm sure there's some kind of scientific molecular reasoning behind it that I don't know. I just know I pop them in, I let them freeze. Yes. Yes. A big crayon, frozen crayon. Well, sometimes life is a little bit like having to let freezer pops freeze. We have to be patient. And we might be excited about going to the cool new park because you have a new park. You do have a new park in your town. And sometimes I'm sure you're like, come on, Mom and Dad, let's go to the park. And they say, Ezra, wait. Be patient. Or sometimes we're excited about school starting. Wait. You have to wait for school to start. Maybe not. You have to wait. Or we want to go swimming. Wait. Sometimes in life, we want answers from God. And what do we have to do? Oh, you're excited about your birthday party, but you have to be patient and wait, right? So Hebrews, let's see what Hebrews says. Hebrews 10:36 says, you need to be faithful. Then you will do what God wants. You will receive what he has promised. So we have to be patient. Party because you're excited. That's okay. He's excited about his party. So we're going to have to remember popsicles in life. All of us are, because sometimes we don't know what answers are and we're waiting for something to happen and we have to be patient and we have to wait. Yes.
Well, we don't pray to them.
We pray to Jesus. So when we pop. Awesome, which is exciting. So sometimes our problems, we have to put our problems in the freezer and we have to let it sit and we pray and we have to let it go and not keep opening the door and grabbing it. We have to just wait for God to work or wait for God to lead us in our life. And then when he tells us we can open that door and grab that popsicle and enjoy that delicious, yummy, sweet treat that God's prepared for us, right? Okay, let's pray. We're going to pray, and we're going to pray for your party, too. Oh, awesome. Okay, have a seat, and let's pray. Dear God, we are so thankful for Ezra's party, and we pray for patience for him, that he can enjoy his party and have so much fun. Thank you for giving us encouragement in the Bible on patience. No matter what our age is, having patience can be difficult. Please give us the strength to fully place our burdens in the freezer and keep that door closed while praying and trusting in your process and plan. Please help our kids enjoy their final week of summer vacation and bring them back safely next week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls with the sprinkling of the ashes of a heifer sanctifies those who have been defiled so that their flesh is purified, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to worship the living God? For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, because a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions under the first covenant. Thus it was necessary for the sketches of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites. But the heavenly things themselves need better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Thus ends the reading. You may be seated.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. Will you join me as we confess our faith together? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Last week we learned that our great high priest in heaven, Jesus Christ, is the mediator of better promises, of a better covenant, a new covenant, that we will celebrate today at communion, a new covenant that has been poured out of his blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. That's the new covenant. We walk into a new covenant where Jesus is our great high priest in heaven, our mediator. He died on the cross for our sins. The blood that he shed on the cross covers all of our sins. All of the guilt and shame and blame of our past sins. And it even frees us, because when he rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, the Father poured out the Holy Spirit on all flesh, on us. Poured the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. so that we can have assurance of faith that we are beloved of God in Jesus Christ. We are adopted into God's forever family. And so Jesus stands in heaven, in the Holy of Holies. And Paul says in Ephesians that we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. And we heard last week, because he is seated in the heavenly realms, mediating that new covenant for us, standing there with hands raised, praying for us at the right hand of the Father, with nail-scarred hands and a scar on his side and his feet. He continues. His blood continues to pour out in the Spirit over us and covers our sins and washes us clean. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If you believe that he died on the cross for your sins. If you believe that he was raised from the dead for you. If you believe that he's coming back for you. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And as he prays and the Holy Spirit's poured on us, his prayers perfect ours. And because he is in the Holy of Holies in heaven, in the heavenly tabernacle, that the earthly tabernacle was just a copy of, we are present with him in the Holy of Holies. That's what we heard last week. That you, as a disciple of Jesus, are present in Jesus in the Holy of Holies. That you're as close to Jesus in heaven, in the Spirit, as the Apostle John was when he was leaning on his chest at the Last Supper. God is with us. Amen? Amen. And I love what Dale said. This is in verse 24. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. It wasn't to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not even his own, because it's blood from a lamb. For then he'd have to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But no, as it is, he has appeared, let's say this together, once for all. Once for all at the, not just back then, but at the end of the age. In eternity, at the end of the age, to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. Not just the earthly bodily sacrifice on the cross for us, but Jesus is in heaven as the living sacrifice for us. He came down from the cross, but he's still cruciform for us. He still bears the weight of the sins of the world for us. He still carries all of your sins, all of your burdens, all of your guilt and shame and fear and blame and hurt. All the abuse we suffer. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, because he's in heaven, it's all purified. All our sins were scapegoated for us because he was on the cross and took the sins for us. But now he appears as the pure and spotless Lamb. The Lamb that was slain. The Lamb who sits on the throne, who is worthy and holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty. Can you just picture that in heaven? In the most glorious scene of all eternity? These living creatures and beings and myriads of angels that are praising and worshiping God. And he's there in the Holy of Holies for us, thinking of and praying for you, pleading his blood over you in our church, in this world, praying for our forgiveness, praying and seeing with faith the end that is coming in him when he returns and makes everything right, and there will be justice. When he comes back and he wipes away every tear that we've cried. And there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, no more cancer, no more grief, no more violence. In fact, when he comes back in Revelation, it says when he comes back on this white horse whose rider is named Faithful and True, he comes back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He comes with the whole host, his heavenly host, and all of his holy ones, the saints, come with him that have died in the faith. And they're all wearing those white, pure linen robes. And it's only Jesus who's got the winepress, the blood of God's wrath, all the way up to his bridle. It's only Jesus who conquers evil and sin and death. He's the one that fights for us. And you know how he defeats the evil one? How he defeats the dragon or Satan or the false prophet or the beast, the Antichrist, if you will? He opens his mouth. And a double-edged sword comes out. A flaming sword. And we know what comes out of his mouth is the truth. It's the living Word of God. Amen? We've heard that in Hebrews, the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerns the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. Thanks be to God. So let's go back. I just want you to hear God's word and to hear what the audience, the Hebrew Christians, what they saw and what they heard. Because what the author of Hebrews does in this is he shows them that everything that's come before them was all to point to Jesus. And the temptation was for them to go back to a sacrificial system. There's even people who are Jewish and waiting the Messiah to come, and they think it's going to be a military leader again. A king and a high priest. And they want to rebuild the third temple. There's a movement even right now to do that in Jerusalem. And they want to institute the sacrificial system again. Well, we know the truth. We know that the Messiah has already come in Jesus. And he brought us a new covenant. So let's go back to Hebrews 9:1. Just listen to God's word. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for worship in an earthly sanctuary. There was a tent or a tabernacle was constructed, the first one. And there was this lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. Now, this is called the holy place. And behind the second curtain was a tent called the Holy of Holies. Now, if you remember, when Jesus died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," what happened? There was a great earthquake, right? And what happened in the temple? The veil in the temple separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn in half. It was rent apart. As if God was to say, "Now there is going to be access through my Son to the Holy of Holies." And behind the second curtain was a tent called the Holy of Holies. And in it stood the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the tablets of the Ten Commandments. It was overlaid on all sides of gold, and it was made of acacia wood, and in which there was a golden urn holding the manna, that is, that mysterious food from heaven that fed the Israelites when they were wandering in the desert because God was providing for their needs. And also Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant, that is, the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And above it were the cherubim, these angelic creatures, the cherubim of glory that overshadowed the mercy seat, that is, the throne of God. And it was of these things we cannot speak now in detail, he writes. Such preparations were made. The priests go continually into the first tent. They carry out their ritual duties. But only the high priest goes in to the second room, in the Holy of Holies, and but once a year, that is, on the Day of Atonement. And not without taking the blood that he offers for himself, that is, the blood of a spotless lamb, and for the sins committed unintentionally by the people. Did you hear that? For the sins committed unintentionally of the people. So God didn't just have a plan to address where people would take sacrifices to confess their own sins, but the high priest went to confess sin, singular, with a capital S, the nature of sin, the unknown sins, the sins of ignorance, the nature of the flesh, once a year. And by this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the sanctuary has not yet been disclosed as long as the first tent is standing, that is, the earthly tabernacle. So this is a symbol of the present time the author of Hebrews writes, during which gifts and sacrifices are offered, but they can't perfect the conscience of the worshiper. They only deal with food and drink and various baptisms and washings, regulations of the body imposed until the time comes to set things right. And we know the time that came to set things right was when Jesus came for us. Amen? But when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of the creation, we're talking about Christ's body, the temple for the Holy Spirit. And you and I, when we become disciples of Jesus Christ and we receive the Holy Spirit, our bodies in Christ become a living temple for the Holy Spirit. So he entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, no, but with his own blood, his own life, thus obtaining eternal redemption for us, buying us back, taking our heads out of the chains and the shackles of sin and the fear that leads to death. How much more? So if the blood of goats and bulls with the sprinkling of the ashes of a heifer sanctifies those who've been defiled so that their flesh, their outside is purified, their appearance is purified, how much more with the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit, he offered himself for you and I, willingly, without reservation, knowing what was to come, knowing he would suffer more than any human being on the planet. He offered himself without blemish to God to purify yours and mine and our conscience from dead works, that is, from trying to use religion as a way to reach God. We're trying to do things for God. We're trying to impress God. We're trying to make up for our own sins. We can't do it. All of our greatest efforts of religion and ingenuity have led to things like the Tower of Babel, or resulted in the things that where God flooded the earth and saved Noah and his family in the ark. Time and time again, the higher we go as humanity, the farther we fall. We can't save ourselves, and that's why God came in the flesh for us in Jesus. He came down to be one of us and to save us from our sins, to represent both Israel but all of humanity through faith, and die for the sins of us all. Even for those who don't even believe or want to believe in Jesus, he still gives that open opportunity that it's only through Jesus we can have eternal life. Amen? So to purify our conscience from the dead works of religion, to worship the living God, that is, in relationship with God the Father, in the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, according to his word. And so for this reason, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called, you and I, can receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now, I love that word inheritance. I was talking to Joe the other day, and we were talking about farming and land, and Joe said that land is one of the most valuable inheritances you can have. It's one of the most valuable assets because it doesn't really depreciate. It passes on from generation to generation. And we are to receive a promised eternal inheritance. And our inheritance is to be the redeemed creation, this earth that we were to have dominion over originally. And not just the earth, but Jesus is going to bring the new heavens and the new earth as one. And our inheritance is going to be eternal life, dwelling in the place of God, with the people of God, in the presence of God. That all of heaven and earth will be the holy of holies when it's all said and done. And we will all be with Jesus. Glory to God. So because a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions under the first covenant, for where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. And a will takes effect only at death, since it's not in force as long as the one who made it alive. Hence, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. But when every commandment has been told to all the people by Moses in accordance with the law, he did everything the law said to do. And he said, this is the blood of the covenant that God has ordained for you, as he took blood and put it on hyssop and sprinkled it on the people. And in the same way, he sprinkled with that blood the tent and all the vessels, everything that was used for worship in that tabernacle. And under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. Because without the shedding of blood, that is, without the outpouring of life, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so it was necessary for the sketches of these heavenly things to be purified with these rites. But the heavenly things themselves need a better sacrifice than these. Why don't we just say this together to close? Verse 24. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was to offer himself again and again as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with a blood that's not his own. Because then he'd have to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. Did you hear that? Since the foundation of the world. See, when Jesus came to die for us and be raised for us once and for all, this was the plan even before God created the creation. Jesus was the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Goes all the way back to that first Hebrew word for God, where it says Elohim, and then it says the Aleph Tav, which can't even be translated into English. That's Jesus. He's there even before the beginning. He's that word for us. But as it is, he's appeared. Let's say this together. Once for all, at the end of the age, to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. Let's keep going. Because it's appointed for mortals to die once, and after that, the judgment. And so Christ, having been offered once and for all to bear the sins of many, of you and I, of this world, he's going to appear a second time. Not to deal with our sin. No, he already dealt with our sin at the cross. He's already dealt with our sin as he pleads for us and prays and pleads his blood over us and pours his Holy Spirit on us from heaven. No, he's going to come to save you and I as we eagerly wait for him. And one of the best ways we can wait for him, he told us that when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he returns. Amen?